In 1 Corinthians 6, Paul gave a list of sin and said, those who practice these will not inherit the kingdom of God. And then he said, but such were some of you. You'll be amazed to hear what God has done in transforming human lives.
It's time for The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Michael Brown is the director of the Coalition of Conscience and president of Fire School of Ministry. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. That's 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
All right, I want you to picture this, all right? I want you to picture this. I'm 16 years old. I'm sitting behind some railroad tracks in an isolated part of the town in which I grew up. And I'm high on hallucinogenic drugs together with two of my friends. We are not just sitting there hanging out high, but we are sitting by these trucks that are parked behind the railroad tracks. And on these trucks, we have walked around and opened up the gas caps until we have found the most potent smelling diesel gas. And we are sitting there high on hallucinogenic drugs, huffing diesel gas to get even higher. And then as we find ourselves in a completely bizarre place in terms of a high, we sit around and fantasize that we are the demon meeting council, that we are demonic spirits leaving people's bodies, plotting destruction on the world. And God looks down. God looks down at the three of us and says, those are three men I want to save and call to preach the gospel. He looks down at me, lost, wretched, wicked, demented, proud, foul sinner, and says, I'm going to raise that boy up to answer the rabbis and to debate the difficult social issues of the day and to get a PhD in Semitic languages from New York University. Sound like a tall tale? Hey, that's my story. Michael Brown, welcome to The Line of Fire, 866-34-TRUTH, 866-348-7884 is the number to call. What's your story? What did God save you from? We so frequently talk about the state of the society, the needs of the hour. We so frequently talk about critical moral issues, always lifting up Jesus, always wanting to exalt him. But very, very specifically today, we want to exalt him as the savior from sin. Paul in 1 Corinthians 6 gives this very strongly worded list. He writes to the Corinthians and he says, don't let anyone deceive you. Don't let anyone deceive you. And then he says this, do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived. Neither the sexually immoral, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor men who practice homosexuality, nor thieves, nor the greedy, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor swindlers will inherit the kingdom of God. And such were some of you. But you were washed, you were sanctified, you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and by the Spirit of our God. I want to glorify the Lord today as Savior and Deliverer. You may be listening and you're on the other side of this right now. You're struggling with alcohol. You're struggling with pornography. You're suicidal and depressed. And on the list goes. I want to proclaim to you that Jesus not only saves to the uttermost, as written in Hebrews 7, but also, as we said in the church where I came to know the Lord over 40 years ago, he saves from the guttermost. What's your story? What did God save you from? We won't have time to hear whole testimonies, but did God transform your life? Were you really messed up, lost in sin before he saved you, turned you around? Give us a call. Let's glorify the Lord. Let's hear what he saved you from today. Such were some of you. Welcome to The Line of Fire.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
You know what the psalmist said? Glorify the Lord with me. Let's exalt his name together. I want to encourage you today. Look, I know that many of you are encouraged on a regular basis as you listen to the broadcast, and that blesses me deeply. That blesses me immensely. I know we talk about difficult, challenging issues, and yet so many of you are encouraged and built up and lifted up. But I'm going to go out of my way to encourage today. 866-34-TRUTH. Again, we don't have time for you to share your complete testimony. I know some of you would take hours to share it all. But I want people to hear. I want us to be encouraged, those of us who are believers. I want us to be encouraged, those of us who don't know the Lord or don't know about the Lord. I want you to be encouraged. I want you to have hope today as well. What did Jesus save you out of? How did he transform you? Again, we don't have time for the whole story of how it happened, but the hardcore reality, what did he save you from? He saves us from something to something. He saves us from sin to holiness, from bondage to freedom. Christopher Hitchens would challenge Christians and believers of other religions, you know, to be free and think for themselves and cast off this idea of God. I want to declare that ultimate freedom is found in knowing him. Ultimate freedom is found in being a child of God. Ultimate freedom is found when you experience new life in Jesus and come to serve God. You say, how can service be free? When it's the living God, that is true freedom. Let me just read something that was sent to me. I saw this posted on the Line of Fire website from Deanna. Thank you, Dr. Brown, for being the voice of sanity in our sex-crazy world. We appreciate your untiring efforts to speak truth with respect and love, even though oftentimes it is not reciprocated. Most of us know what the gay agenda is and how it intends to open the door to sexual anarchy. Wasn't this the intention of Alfred Kinsey for the sexual revolution and the strategy of Kirk and Madsen in After the Ball? We also note that you are able to defend marriage like very few others can do. Did you make a presentation for traditional marriage to the Supreme Court? Thanks again and blessing. Deanna, thank you for the very kind words. And it is our role, it is our goal to be a voice of moral sanity and spiritual clarity in the midst of a society in chaos and a church all too often in compromise. As for making a presentation to the Supreme Court, no, that's for the sharp, godly attorneys to do and the sharp legal groups to do, just in terms of who does what. So we support each other and each do what we can do. 866-34-TRUTH. Going to go to the phones in one moment. I posted this on Facebook an hour ago. What did Jesus save you from? And I'm just glancing now at some of the testimonies here. Maricel, from the deceit of Satan. Once I was blind, but now I see. Let's see, Sarah, Jesus saved me from drunkenness, debauchery, prostitution, and spirit of pythos. I almost landed in the spirit of pythos. I have to find out exactly what she means, but I never got to any of the above, though my mom would have pushed me to some of these, so I thank Jesus for saving me. Ah, that's the direction you were going, and that's the way your mother was pushing you, drunkenness, debauchery, and prostitution, and Jesus saved you before you went that far. Thank God for his grace and goodness. We'll start in Warrenton, Virginia. Matthew, welcome to the Line of Fire.
Well, thank you, Dr. Brown. Real quick, I was addicted to drugs, and I couldn't get them off. I couldn't get off them, no matter what I tried. And I just finally told God, there's nothing you can do to stop it. And I took 68 extra strength sleeping pills. I fell asleep. Someone picked me up in the middle of the night, carried me to the bathroom, made me throw up. The next day I got carried downstairs. There were three men that sat on the couch across the room. The man in the middle told me how he loved me, how I was purchased by his blood, and there was nothing in my life he didn't mean to happen. And I was set free. My addiction was gone. 2 weeks later I went to church. Guy was sitting there preaching about tithing. He stopped, he looked back at me, and he spoke the words that Yeshua spoke to me from across the room. and I was weeping like a baby. I knew that it was my Lord and Savior, Yeshua, and I had seen him face to face, and he delivered me.
Matthew, that is awesome. How long were you addicted to drugs?
I was addicted to drugs since I was 12, and it was about up to 94, so I was born in 68, so quite a long time.
Right, so if you were born, it's 24, excuse me, if it started at 12, that's 14 years. And so the ones that carried you down the steps, are you saying that was the Lord?
Well, I went down the stairs, and so somebody picked me up, carried me in the bathroom, made me throw up. And I went downstairs, and I was sitting in this chair. It was early in the morning. The sun hadn't come up. My Rottweiler I had in the house, she wouldn't come down the stairs, even though I called her. I said, come on down here. She wouldn't come down. And I looked across the room, and there were three men that were sitting on my couch. The man in the middle had the most beautiful eyes I've ever seen, and he told me how he loved me, how he had a purpose for my life. There was nothing he didn't mean to happen, and I was saved by his blood.
Awesome. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Yeshua. What a story. That is the power of the gospel. You say, I couldn't do that. Matthew didn't do it. Jesus did it. Yeah, he works with us. We do make choices, but he's the Savior. He's the deliverer. We're talking about the power of God, friends. Such were some of you. Let's go to Boston. Arnett. Well, we won't go there. Let's go to Frederick, Maryland. We won't go there. Something sounds strange on those phone lines, doesn't it, Joey? Let me take a break from the phones for a moment. 866-34-TRUTH. Oh, come on. Look at these. Look at these lines here. Natalie, he saved me from suicide, partying, gossip, drugs, and a completely lost mindset. I'm looking at Natalie's picture on Facebook. If you're not connected with us on Facebook, just go to Ask Dr. Brown on Facebook, A-S-K-D-R Brown on Facebook. Looking at a nice smiling picture here, save me from suicide. Is that you? Are you suicidal? Are you at the end of your rope? Is this the first time you've ever heard my voice? And it's like, oh my God, oh my God, God's speaking to me. I would dare say, if this is the first time you've ever heard this broadcast and ever heard my voice, period, and you're struggling with suicidal thoughts, and here I am today talking about this subject directly, which is not a normal thing I'm focused on the radio here, I'd say it's God speaking to you. I heard a story one time of a godly leader who was preaching in South Africa, and during the day, as he was taking a walk, just walking through a neighborhood, praying, he felt God speak to him to go to a house, a beautiful house in a beautiful neighborhood where he was just taking a walk and praying and getting alone with God, and to go to the door of that house and through the keyhole, yell John 3:16. And he wrestled with God. God, I can't do that. It's a lovely neighborhood, and you just walk up to someone's house and do that. But he felt compelled to do it. So he went up to the door and shouted through the door, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth him should not perish but have eternal life, or everlasting life, quoting from the King James, no doubt. And then he ran. He literally ran. Well, that night he's preaching, and there's a man comes into the service, very, very well-dressed, better dressed than the others in the church service. He comes in to the church service, super well-dressed, and he has a story to tell. He was in his house, his beautiful home in a beautiful neighborhood. He was standing on the chair with the rope around his neck, about to kick the chair out from under him to hang himself, when he heard a voice through the door shouting John 3:16, and he realized how much God loved him, and he took the rope off his neck and gave his life to the Lord and came to the service that night to testify. If you're listening now and you're suicidal, you're struggling, and you've lost hope, God is speaking through me to you saying there is hope. If you'll turn to him, not just with your problem, but with your whole life, and say, God, forgive me. God, have mercy on me. I don't deserve it, but I know you love me. Forgive me for every wrong thing I've ever done against you or against people, and give me a brand new life. I'm yours. I believe Jesus died for me. Or even if you don't even know that, just say, God, help me. God, have mercy on me. I need your help. Start right where you are. Today will be the day of your deliverance. 866-34-TRUTH. Let's hear some more testimonies. Such were some of you. Let's glorify the Lord together on the Line of Fire.
It's the Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Listen, friends, our gospel-based moral and cultural revolution is empowered by the Spirit. See, that's what sets us apart. We're not just doing this in human strength. To the extent we fight this battle with human strength, to that extent we are defeated. To the extent we try to fight culture wars with cultural power, we'll be defeated. To the extent we fight culture wars with the power of the gospel, we will see great success. 866-34-TRUTH. Welcome to the Line of Fire. We talk about Such Were Some of You. Be looking for my latest article that'll come out tonight. And in that article, I will address the fact that while religion in general and Christianity in general is on the decline in America, although still accounts for over 70% of the population claims to be Christian, the fact is the conservative churches, evangelical churches, Bible-based churches continue to grow, whereas liberal churches are in the decline. Let me say that again. Bible-based churches continue to grow, while the mainline liberal churches are in the decline. The largest single body of those who identify as Christian in America is not Catholic, is not mainline, mainstream Protestant, which is mainly liberal. It is evangelical Protestant. Yes, in terms of the percentage of the population, we're down slightly, according to the latest Pew Forum. So let's say we're down from maybe 26% of the population to 25%, but our numbers in the last 7 years have actually grown by 2 million. We're saying mainline denominations, the liberal ones, the ones that are supposedly enlightened, they're making all the right choices. Oh, we should just learn from them. We should just learn from them and do what they do and change our, you know, not be so stuck in the Stone Age. No, it's the opposite. We do it their way and depart from Scripture. We lose numbers, and you're not going to see the transforming power of the gospel there. When you really preach Jesus and call people to really follow him, then you will get real followers. 866-34-TRUTH. Andy, what did God deliver you from? What did he save you from? From being addicted to pornography. Rachel, witchcraft, sorcery, occultism, adultery, alcoholism, addiction to prescription drugs, anxiety, fear, depression. I feel like shouting. I would like nothing more right now than to be in a black Pentecostal church that's got one of those old organs and a good bass player and a good drummer, where after a testimony like this, they hit that music with that bass line that do-do-do, and that organ kicks in, and the people get up and start jumping and shouting. That's what I feel like doing right now. That's what I, Matt, if you find that ideal soundbite, we'll play it. If you can find a good Black Pentecostal celebration song. 866-34-TRUTH. We'll go to Queens, New York. Caesar, what did Jesus save you from?
Hey, Dr. Brown. God bless you. How you doing?
Great.
Well, what didn't he save me from, Dr. Brown? You know, I had a personal encounter with Jesus first. When I was younger, I was coming from El Salvador, actually, and I found myself in the desert. Long story short, it was like a month's journey, and my friend was giving up and everybody else there, and I just did a simple prayer to the Lord, and I said, God, if you're out there, you know, please give me the, give us the strength to make it there. If not, then, you know, just put an end to this, please, and don't let us keep suffering. And, you know, I look to my left, and I see a bright image of a man, and I know it was him because I look straight down, I look again, and nobody's there. A minute later, Dr. Brown, I feel so good. We had no food, nothing to drink, no sleep for about 4 days, and we were just giving up, you know. And through the grace of God, he gave us his strength, and we were able to make it. Now, that's not the end of it. Once I got here, I was still young. I got together with a bad crowd, completely forgot, like the children of Israel, you know, after the Lord had freed them and saved them, I fell into the same thing, and I completely forgot the great thing that the Lord had done for me. And I fell into addictions. I fell into partying, you know, fornication, drinking, doing drugs, popping pills. And the Lord just spoke to me and spoke to my heart through many people, through my grandma that gave me an example. Not only spoke, but she walked the walk. And she showed me what it was to be a Christ-like person. And, you know, Dr. Brown, you know, that's the most beautiful thing to me, you know. And it's so special that I saw the way the Lord worked in my life, and he opened my eyes and saved me, you know, and that's why I'm in such depth to him, because no atheist, no philosopher, nobody can come to me and change what he did to my heart and change that, those past events. I can't forget that, you know. I can't forget what he did. That personal encounter, nobody can take from me.
Yeah,
you know,
it's not an
intellectual thing.
No, it's not debatable. It's not debatable. It's like the man born blind said in John 9, I can't answer all your theological questions, but this much I know. I was blind, but now I see. It's like Leonard Ravenhill always used to say, the man with an experience is never at the mercy of a man, with an argument. And Caesar, what blesses me the most in hearing that is God had so much mercy on you. He made himself real to you, and yet you strayed. When you got old, you strayed, but he had mercy, and he used a godly example. Praise God. All right, phone lines are jammed. I want to get to as many testimonies as possible. 866-34-TRUTH. Remember, you can catch all 2 hours of The Line of Fire online if you miss any on your radio station. That's by going to Ask Dr. Brown, askdrbrown.org. And between 2 and 4 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, so adjusted for wherever you are in the country, if you're driving in your car and you get your cell phone, all right, plug your cell phone in. It's got plenty of juice. And then just go to askdrbrown.org, askdrbrown.org, and you'll see a banner right on your cell phone. Boom. Click on that, and you can listen live right on your cell phone, driving your car, of course, on your computer or your tablet. Hey, let me read something to you that I take with the utmost seriousness. Here's a woman named Shelley. She said, I dreamt last night the sky was a pink orange hue, and Jesus was in the clouds. He took up the whole sky. The ground began to shake, and you had two paths to choose from. The one to hell was rocky and destruction. The one to heaven was a narrow sidewalk. Jesus told me to follow Dr. Michael L. Brown. Paul said to the Corinthians, follow me the way I follow Jesus. And by God's grace, I have a voice. I have a voice that goes across the nation on radio and by internet around the world. I have a voice through writing, through books, through preaching, teaching, debates. I take this responsibility very seriously. Oh, the goal is to point everyone to a personal relationship with God through his word, to just be a conduit. But I know these words that we speak influence and impact many. Would you help me? Would you partner with me? Would you stand with me by becoming a monthly supporter or torchbearer? If you can put aside a dollar a day or more per month, $30 or more per month, if you can do that, you'll be on the front lines with us as a monthly supporter. Every word I speak, you'll be amplifying it to shout it out to more. Every trip I take, you'll be with me on that trip. Every article I write, you'll be with me as I sit and type. Call now 1-800-278-9978. 1-800-278-9978. When you do this week, we're sending you the entire Let the Lion Roar package as our gift of appreciation, a $45 value.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown. your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Get into the line of fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Welcome back to the line of fire, 866-34-TRUTH. My joy to be with you today on the line of fire as we glorify the Lord together. Such were some of you. What did God save you from? How did he have mercy on you? What did he bring you out of? I'm about to go back to the phones. Delcio, all sorts of vices, prostitution, porn, lies, killing myself or anybody else, ultimately hell. In short, he saved me from my old self. Cal, me, mainly a sad parade of online affairs that I thought I needed to be happy. I didn't think I'd be able to be Christian because I thought I always needed the affairs to get through life. How little I knew. Jessica, hell on earth, depression, panic attacks, and so much more. Daniel, he saved me from a meaningless mission, a lazy life, my inevitable death, both physical and spiritual, and a binding burial. From these things, he brought me into following Jesus by way of a purposeful passion to serve God with my life, a cross to die on, only physical and eternal life, where the pangs of death have no grip on me. Oh, Jesus has set me free. Tom, a quote from Major Ian Thomas, Christ did not die simply that you might be saved from a bad conscience or even remove the stain of past failure, but to clear the decks for divine action. Amen and amen. Let's go to Sergio in London, Ontario. Are you still there, Sergio?
Hello?
Yes, you're on the air. Go ahead.
Can you hear me? Okay. I want to share that I was from 15 to 18, I was deeply involved in drugs and playing around with girls. I for a while, I was able to for maybe weeks or months, but it was only until somebody introduced me to the Lord. And I started just praying to God, like, God, if you, like, I tried to stop taking drugs. I really wanted to change. But it was only until, like, God came into my life. It renewed my heart. It renewed my mind. And, it was like a miracle that I received. Like, I didn't want to take any more drugs. I didn't want to do anything that I used to do before. So it's, like, the glory to God.
Praise God. How many years ago was that, Sergio?
Now it's been probably, that was when I was 18 and 27.
Amazing. God's grace and goodness, and it's just the beginning of the journey. Thank you for calling in. I appreciate it.
Thank you.
866-34-TRUTH. Doug in Brooklyn, New York, thanks for calling the line of fire.
Yes, Dr. Brown. Well, it's about my mother. She was 34. I was 9, living with my grandparents. But my mother had her love of her life, her husband had been divorced. There was no hope for her, she felt, and at age 34, she dressed my little sister up, who was 3 years old, to go out the door in Ashtabula, Ohio, and jump in and commit suicide and take my little sister's life, too, at the same time. And just as she put her hand on the door, somebody knocked on the other side of the door, and a lady invited her downstairs for supper. My mother got her mind off of it, thought, I can always do what I'm going to do, but this lady is so nice, I have to go with her. Anyway, she was interrupted. The next time, my aunt found her with her head in the oven, the gas turned on, and she came home from work, and my aunt was a nurse, and she was saved again. The third time, she woke up and said, looked at my aunt with the sun streaming in the window. She hadn't got out of bed for weeks because she couldn't stand to get out of bed or face crowds, and she said, do you think God could help me? And my aunt said, well, I believe he could, like that. So anyway, she mentioned this Baptist church down the street where a few blocks away where her friend said was the greatest she'd ever been to.
All right, stay right there. We'll hear the rest of your story, your mom's deliverance from suicide. Such were some of you. Whoever you are, wherever you are, whatever's going on in your life, Jesus can save and transform and heal and make whole, give you a brand new life.
God of light, hear our cry, send the fire.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
I've still struggled with things. It's an ongoing process, but he's the same love that saved me that night is the same love that's carried me on to this point.
Yeah, this is from the DVD, Such Were Some of You, and numerous people appear on it who were saved out of homosexual practice by the power of the gospel. We're glorifying the Lord as Savior, Deliverer, the one who makes us whole, the one who redeems us from a wasted life or from a proud life or from a lost life or from a full but really empty life of disobedience and brings us to himself. And in serving him, we find freedom. 866-34-TRUTH. So, Doug, sorry we had a cut in there. So your mom, who had been suicidal, attempted suicide, too depressed or unwilling to face people, even get out of bed, she gets out of bed and she asks if God could help her, and she ends up going to a Baptist church. What happened?
Yeah, well, she was sitting there in church. Well, she made herself go in the door because she couldn't stand crowds, but she went in, and the preacher was preaching on 1 John 1:9, which says, the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanses us from all sin. My mother thought in her mind, if that's true, that's what I want. And afterwards, she didn't have the courage to go down when they asked for prayer, but she did meet the minister as she's going out the door, and she said, well, here's one woman's heart you touched today. And the minister said, thank you. And the time my mother got out the door, the whole world was totally different.
Wow.
You could hear the sunshine, hear the birds sing, and totally transformed without anything else. And she said the greatest peace she'd ever known in her heart. And her husband that she married, who was my father, she said that this was her soulmate. And she always felt that the sweet mystery of life, she found it when she married my dad. But she said this was even greater than that. She said that she had never experienced such a peace in her heart. And it changed her whole life. She didn't have to take those pills. The pills. She was planning on overdose on pills. That was the next thing she was going to do. Didn't have to take those. And all the young women in the neighborhood started coming to her for help. But her life was totally transformed.
Praise God. Hey, Doug, I recognize your voice. This happened when you were 9. How old are you today?
Oh, I'm 85 now. I'm sorry. Where am I? Where that came from? I'm 82 now.
85. That's a jump. 82 and still on the front lines serving God. Hey, and reaching out to the Jewish people. Doug, thank you for sharing that. Is that you? Depressed? Suicidal? Don't even want to get out of bed? Can't be around other people. Try to kill yourself. The same gospel that saved and transformed Doug's mom and brought her a peace she never knew before and brought her into a joy-filled, blessed life. That same Jesus is here right now. If you'll call out to him, he'll have mercy on you. 866-34-TRUTH. We'll go to Waldorf. Right. We'll go to AJ in Hull, Massachusetts. Welcome to the Line of Fire.
Oh, hi, Dr. Brown.
Yes, hello.
I just wanted to say that I sort of have a different story because I didn't do anything like drugs or anything, but the major thing that Jesus has done for me, aside obviously from forgiving my sins, is that he's reconnected me to my Jewish roots because my dad's side of the family is Jewish, and whenever we would celebrate the holidays when I was growing up, I loved it, but it was always odd that it was kind of like dry and there was no love for God at the core. But then when I found out how Jesus fulfills it all, it's caused me to fall even more in love with Jesus and pursuing him. So, and it's so incredible that even though I wasn't brought up Jewish, even though it's not much, I know actually a little bit more in the power of the Holy Spirit. I know a little bit more Hebrew than I ever did before. So that's how incredible, awesome God is.
Good. Well, you know, it's nice that you called to remind us that Jesus saves and transforms people who who are not only drug addicts and alcoholics and suicidal, but come from all other walks of life. And ultimately, true wholeness is only found in him. Hey, AJ, thank you so much for the call. Much appreciated. 866-34-TRUTH. Let me go back to Facebook. Carol, he saved me from the hell to which I was condemned. Lena, the Lord saved me from self-induced depression and paranoia caused by my own evil choices in life. For example, adultery, drunkenness, bitterness, gossip, etc. Georgia, all 10 commandments had been broken, all 7 sins committed, 3 nails and 1 cross. Mary, he saved me from hell. AD, drugs, alcohol, promiscuity, myself. KB, myself. Liz, me too. Elena, myself. I'm so glad he found me. I was lost. Antonio, how does someone who was raised in the church answer this question? Jesus has saved me over and over again from all kinds of heresies and habits that I should have known better than to develop in the first place. Antonio, thanks for posting that, because many are raised in the church. Many are raised in the Lord and then mess up in ways that they ought not to have because they know better or they had better foundations. But human nature and free will. And thank God for his mercy, that he brings you back to your roots, that he delivers you again, that he puts your feet down in a solid way to keep you from other errors and addictions and sins. Thank God. Adam, drugs, myself, death, and new life. Thank you, Jesus, whom the Son sets free is free indeed. Lori, a darkness that kept me from understanding or being able to see reality. I literally lived in isolation, in chains, in the fog. I mean, I've got a whole bunch more to read with you, share with you. Listen, I'm not saying that you're going to have a trouble-free life. I'm not saying that everything is going to go smoothly for you. In fact, Jesus said in this world, you'll have trouble, tribulation, pressure, challenges, tests, opposition. But he says, but be encouraged, be of good cheer. I've overcome the world. Meaning there is a path through, meaning there is a way out, meaning there's a way to go over, meaning there is a way to overcome, meaning that in him you can get through the hell of this world, not just barely surviving, but thriving. Look, just looking at headline news, some of this affects you directly, a family member, a friend. The Amtrak crash just yesterday, I'm looking at headlines on Drudge, train cars ripped apart, disastrous mess, 7 dead, 200 injured. I mean, that's horrific. That affects a lot of people and a ripple effect. Many others affected by that. Other parts of the world, earthquake, another earthquake in Nepal. I'm looking at another headline from Pakistan. Dozens killed in Karachi bus attack. Gunmen on motorcycles open fire on and board vehicle in South Pakistan city. So I would imagine these are Muslim terrorists killing other Muslims. Just trying to get more information on that. The passengers were nearly all Ismailis, members of an international community of Muslims who follow the Aga Khan, the Europe-based spiritual leader and business tycoon. But because they are Shiite Muslims, they're regarded as heretics by Pakistan's various militant Sunni terrorist groups who have been active in Karachi for decades. This is a messed up world, and people are doing messed up things all the time. But I want to proclaim something to you. I want to proclaim something to you. If your whole life has been broken, broken by disease, broken by divorce, your whole life has been broken by some kind of addiction, by terrible crime, by some horrific accident, by some terrorist event, your whole life has been broken, I want to proclaim to you that Jesus can not only heal the brokenness, He can make you a better person. Oh, the loss is the loss. If you lost a family member, a friend, that loss is a loss. But he can redeem. He can now use you to bring life to others. Out of that loss, you can save other people from losses. Out of that loss, you can comfort others in the midst of their grieving. Out of that loss, God can make you a compassionate person and construct within you the character of Jesus. He's a redeemer. Everything's Satan, society, the world, everything meant for destruction. Jesus can turn around for greater good. Such were some of you.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Yeah, look at this article. It's been shared, as I look at it, just on Facebook, or liked on Facebook, 63,786 times. It's USA Today article, so it's getting a lot of attention. By Michael Farris, himself a litigator, Christian schools will have no choice about gay marriage. A Supreme Court ruling could shatter religious school finances. He says plainly, as an appellate litigator and the coach of 8 collegiate national moot court championship teams, he fully understands that when the Solicitor General of the United States, Donald Verrilli, Jr. is appearing before the Supreme Court. He is eminently prepared, and yet he, and I wrote about this last week, many others have written about it, when the hearings took place before the Supreme Court and Justice Samuel Alito asked Solicitor General Donald Verrilli a question in the Bob Jones case. The court held that a college was not entitled to have tax-exempt status if it opposed interracial marriage or interracial dating. So would the same apply to a university or a college if it opposed same-sex marriage? Verrilli replied that he would need to know more specifics, but allowed that, quote, it's certainly going to be an issue. I don't deny that. Friends, there's a reason we have been raising our voice for years. There's a reason I have been addressing these issues for years. It's not because I don't have other things to talk about. In fact, we talk about other things all the time. It's not because I particularly enjoy getting blasted and maligned and hate it. It's not because I find these topics pleasant. It's because it is necessary to draw attention to these urgent issues in our society. Yes, the Supreme Court ruling scheduled to be released probably around the third week of June could well be utterly disastrous. Now, it's not the end of the story for me. For me, I believe it could be the wake-up call that the Church of America has needed and finally get us out of our lethargy. But that being said, without question, these issues are of massive importance. Our answer is not to capitulate, not to throw in the towel, not to cower, not to give up, not to get discouraged, but to live for Jesus and to refuse to compromise our convictions. I'll say it again. My new book, due out in just a few months, Outlasting the Gay Revolution, 8 Principles for Long-Term Cultural Change, will absolutely, absolutely give you hope and courage and tell you how to live and show you how the gay revolution has within itself the seeds of self-destruction and is already a failure in that respect. We demonstrate that in the book. It'll give you hope and courage to stand. But our ultimate answer is we live for Jesus and we preach Jesus. That's our ultimate answer. Our ultimate answer is not a political one, although we get involved in the political scene as merited. It's part of our lives, part of our country, absolutely important. We get involved in the court scene. It's important. It's part of our country, part of our culture. We get involved in other aspects socially, etc. But ultimately, our answer, our great answer to the culture wars is Jesus. We preach Jesus and we live for Jesus, and that is the foundational key to the Jesus revolution. Let me go back to Facebook. What did Jesus save you from? What did Jesus save you from? Braxton, Jesus Christ saved me from atheism and much sexual immorality, lying, and so many other things I cannot reduce to words. Jeff, from becoming a hermit that is self-absorbed in a life all about me in my personal peace and affluence. Tracy, from dying. I was going to a pain clinic for 10 years, and they had me on 5 very strong physical-dependent medicines. One was fentanyl, 100 times stronger than morphine. I didn't abuse any of my meds, but decided to quit all of them cold turkey. The doctors told me I had to be under close doctor supervision to stop those meds. That was in November of 14, and my doctor was God. It hasn't been easy. The withdrawals from fentanyl can last 18 months. My body is still in shock, but I take it one day at a time. Father, right now we pray for Tracy that you will give her supernatural deliverance. Right now, that the body shock would stop, that there'd be no withdrawal, that she would be instantly, completely free, full of joy and hope and peace in Jesus' name. Amen. There you go. Let's agree together and believe God. From, let's just say Josanne. It's a little bit longer name. He saved me from Satanism and witchcraft. L.S., God saved us from the wrath of God on sin in which we were in. He literally shielded us from that wrath by his son. Leslie, he saved me from my sin. Linda, walking away from my sin instead of reliving it to the world. Dave, drugs. Terry, drug dealing, pot smoking and growing, cocaine snorting, licentious lifestyle that had me bound for the eternal torments of weeping and gnashing of teeth. Other than that, I was a good old boy, according to the world standards. I can relate, Terry. Nick, good question. I'll go with anger. The act of forgiveness is really important to me. James, Jesus saved me from active suicidal tendencies and is saving me from mental health illness. Mary, demonic oppression. Joshua, darkness. Peter, in short, fascism, hate, superiority, and hell. Diane, he saved me from his wrath to come. To the children of disobedience, I was held tightly in the evil one's grip of addiction when Yeshua introduced himself and unlocked my prison door. Is this encouraging or what? The power of the gospel. Carolina, suicide with mental and drug abuse and did know God. Okay, I'm sorry, this is a question. Someone committed suicide who had mental issues but knew the Lord. Is she in heaven? Only God knows. But I do believe that people who do not understand what they're doing, that there are times when someone's mind is so affected that they really do not know what they are doing, do not understand it, that there can be mercy even in a case of suicide. Perhaps it's good that we gave that answer. Friends, now is a great time to partner with us. Thank God for everyone on radio and TV. But if you believe in what we're doing, if you know that there's a unique role that we fill, if you're glad to have me as your listener-sponsored voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution, would you help us today by becoming a torchbearer, a monthly supporter? We're doing something very special this week. Our resource offer from last week, Let the Lion Roar, which is a very, very provocative docudrama on DVD, Blu-ray disc, then 2 CDs of interviews chock full of tremendous information from Messianic Jewish leaders and others, and then a book, an accompanying book, about a $45 value. We're giving you that as our thank you gift when you become a torchbearer. If you help us with at least $1 a day per month, join our support team. You're on the front lines. You're literally holding up our hands and you're taking pressure off us so that we can focus on what we need to focus on and really impact this world with the good news of Jesus, reaching the lost sheep of the house of Israel, sparking moral cultural revolution in America, helping raise up send missionaries to the ends of the earth. You're partnering with us. Go to the website, Ask Dr. Brown, askdrbrown.org. Click on donate. My bottom line today, Jesus is the Savior. Doesn't matter where you are. Doesn't matter what you've done. If you cry out to him for mercy, he will have mercy. In 1 Corinthians 6, Paul gave a list of sin and said, those who practice these will not inherit the kingdom of God. And then he said, but such were some of you. You'll be amazed to hear what God has done in transforming human lives.
It's time for The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Michael Brown is the director of the Coalition of Conscience and president of Fire School of Ministry. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. That's 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
All right, I want you to picture this. I shared something very vivid in the first hour. I'm going to share something very vivid in this second hour. Michael Brown, welcome to the Line of Fire. I want you to picture this. I am terribly high on drugs, heroin and barbiturates, which can be a deadly combination. I'm 15, 16 years old at the oldest. I have somehow made it to a friend's house. I was initially picked up by someone who thought I was hitchhiking. That almost cost me dearly. Turned out the fellow who picked me up had his girlfriend in the front of the car, told me to sit in the back seat, thought I was hitchhiking. And when I made a comment, a disparaging comment about police and my slurred speech, he said to me, "My father is a cop." I didn't understand what he said. I said, "Yeah, same thing." And then he said, "Get out of the car and start running." He was not happy with my comments. Somehow I staggered out of there, made it onto a bus, got to my friend's house where they were having a party. I was so out of it, they opened the front door, and I literally fell in. I collapsed in the doorway. And then I decided time to, and all the time I had heroin on me. Talk about sick, crazy, traveling like that in public. Then I think I was 16 at this time. I decide time to shoot more heroin. I told my friends, I remember it, if I overdose, just give me mouth-to-mouth resuscitation until the ambulance comes. That you talk about being a complete idiot, all right? Your beloved, Dr. Michael Brown. Yes, that was me before the Lord had mercy on me and saved me. I was so out of it when I put the needle in my arm, I couldn't tell whether I'd gotten it in the vein or not, so I pulled the needle out. I was sitting down, leaning on the refrigerator at my friend's house, and my arm started gushing blood. I remember the very red blood on the very white refrigerator. And a few months after that, I was wonderfully, gloriously saved. And a year later, I was spending 6-7 hours alone with the Lord every day, memorizing 20 verses a day. By the time I was 18, I'd read through the Bible cover to cover 5 times. And had preached my first sermon and had led many of my friends to the Lord. The one you hear speaking to you today, 60 years old, full of life, energy, passion, by God's grace, traveled overseas and preached overseas thousands of times, more than 150 trips around the world, had the privilege of preaching in some of the key, finest congregations in all of the world. The privilege of teaching as a professor at numerous seminaries, written more than 25 books, all by the grace and mercy and favor of God. That same person that was there with blood gushing onto the refrigerator of a friend's house while I was trying to shoot more heroin into my body, that idiot, that lost, depraved, wicked sinner, that's the same one God had mercy on and raised up to preach the gospel and to be your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. We had an amazing first hour as people called in with their testimonies. What did Jesus save you from? What did he deliver you from? We won't have time for the whole testimony. But call in and encourage, because someone's listening that needs to hear this today. Someone's listening who's suicidal. Someone's listening who's depressed. Someone's listening who's drug addicted or addicted to porn or whose life has been shattered. Jesus is the Savior. Jesus is the Deliverer. Jesus is the Redeemer. We'll be right back.
Fire we want, for fire we
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Let me tell you something tonight. We do not serve a God who is dead, but we serve a God who is alive. Jesus Christ, who is the resurrection and the life. The Bible says if any man will be in Christ, he is a new creation, that the old has passed and the new has come.
That basically sums up everything we've been talking about the last hour plus here on The Line of Fire. Michael Brown, delighted to be with you. I just shared a picture from my own life, how lost I was. The voice you hear now, the one that by God's grace has been used to testify in halls of Congress in foreign nations about moral and cultural issues, and done outreach lectures at Yale University and Oxford University or Hebrew University, or done debates at these different places, or USC or at Ohio State. Yours truly, lost, completely messed up, foul, wicked sinner. But that's who God has mercy on. He saves us and transforms. And the voice you just heard was the voice of Amy Lambert. Amy was on the air with us almost 2 years ago. She is a powerful evangelist, soul winner, and that goes for the worst of sinners and sees them radically transformed. And on short notice, was able to join us in the studio today. Amy, thanks for being on The Line of Fire with us.
Thank you so much for having me.
Amy, how lost were you?
I look back on that time period, and I was completely suicidal, addicted to heroin, shooting up like 20 times a day. And I think one thing I tell people is that I only prayed one prayer to God, and that was, why don't you just kill me? Why don't you allow me to die? I would take so much drugs to try to overdose, and yet I would wake up the next day.
Mm. And how old were you? How many years were you bound like this?
7 years.
7 years. What else was going on in your life? What other signs of lostness were there in your life?
I was totally disconnected from my family, and grew up in a Christian church. My dad was a pastor, that type of thing. And I completely ran away from Christianity. Anything that had to do with Christians at all, I thought they were all hypocrites, and I was very bitter at them. And also, during that time period, I was in a relationship with a guy who was a fugitive. So we were involved in a lot of felony-type activities. I'll just leave it at that. And he ended up serving quite a bit of time in prison. And by the grace of God, I was able not to get arrested, not to serve any time.
Mm. Why do you think that some pastors' kids rebel like this?
You know, it's really interesting, because I was with a girl. I just got back from a trip to Hong Kong, and I roomed with a girl who, her father is a minister, comes from a family with no dysfunction, that type of thing. She's just a few years older than me, but she's just anti-church. She does not want to go there. And I was thinking, you know, there's no dysfunction, so why is that? And I just really believe that, you know, maybe in my own personal case, it was, I saw one thing preached behind the pulpit, and then I saw hypocrisy, you know, demonstrated at home. But I think for people like that young lady, what she said is, you know, her uncle was diagnosed with cancer, and people gave a lot of prophetic words that he would live, and he ended up dying. And so she was very bitter at that. And
yeah.
And also seeing the way that people treated her family, her father in ministry. So,
all right, so you see the abuse sometimes within the system. You'll see people who are atheists today. They may be intellectual atheists today, but there was spiritual disappointment earlier on, and they're angry with God, or they say there is no God, but I hate him, that kind of thing, or the hypocrisy, or just growing up with a form of religion but not knowing God directly. How is it that God saved you? You really were at the end of your rope. How did he intervene in your life, and how set free were you?
It's a really amazing testimony. And this past Sunday, I had an opportunity for the very first time. My mother and I, on Mother's Day, got to share our stories together.
Really?
Yeah, it was super cool. And really, the biggest part about the testimony is how I had a mother that was interceding for me. And God spoke to her in the midst of my addiction to wake up one night in the middle of the night. She went in the living room. She began to pray for me. And God spoke that night and says, as Amy being your seed, I want you to take authority over this addiction and break it.
Mm.
And she said she literally felt the gift of faith rise up. And she broke the addiction. And then she said God spoke very clearly to her and said, you know, anytime if she tried to pray that again, God said, don't pray that again. It's done. It's already been done. But he said, now I want you to thank me for her deliverance and praise me for the ministry that I'm going to give her. And so after that moment, it was seriously like something happened in the spiritual mm-hmm. realm, because I couldn't go anywhere without having Christians I did not even know coming up to me and saying, I don't know you, but I feel like God wanted me to come and tell you that he has a special plan for you. Mm. So the Lord was just kind of preparing my heart. And eventually, I was 19 years old. I had injected to the point that my veins were collapsed and my arm had abscessed. Mm. So I was put in the hospital. And that's really where I hit rock bottom. And I cried out to Jesus and I said, Lord, you know, you've got to take this away from me, you know, because otherwise I'm going to end up dead or in prison.
And he did.
And he did.
Talk to somebody listening right now that is struggling with drug addiction or with some other type of substance abuse or is depressed and suicidal. Talk to them for the Lord from your heart.
Well, the biggest thing that I want to say is that there is hope. You know, the scripture says with God, there is hope, and that the plans that he has for us is to prosper us and not to harm us, but to give us a future and a hope. And no matter how dark things may seem and no matter how bound that you are, God, he can give you hope in the darkest time. And that's what will give you the strength that you need to carry on. And you know, one thing that I struggled with is feeling like, how could Jesus love me because of all the wicked things that I was involved in? But once I understood his radical love for me, that was the key to my transformation and to breaking all the addictions off of me. It didn't come through like, you can't do this, you can't do that. It's once I had that love relationship with him and I'm thinking, wow, I can't believe that he loves me. Mm-hmm. Then it was like, I don't want to do these things to hurt his heart, because now I know him and now I love him.
And when that love comes to you, obviously you can feel you're not worthy. And I remember as a new believer hearing a message on the crucifixion, and I thought, I don't deserve this. God, don't do this for me. Just stop it. Even as a believer, I was so overwhelmed with it. But once you received his love, did it then give you a sense of value and worth as a human being and even having purpose for life, that your purpose was not to just be laying around doing nothing or breaking in and stealing or high on drugs or whatever, that there was a purpose? Did that revelation of love unfold an understanding of destiny?
The revelation of love and also the studying of scripture.
Mm-hmm.
So when I became a believer, and I'm thankful that I had a spiritual mother that when I was struggling, I would call her and she would say, have you read your Bible? And I would say, no. And she would say, okay, well, read your Bible. And so I would do that. And so during my beginning stages of Christianity, I just immersed myself in the Word. And I allowed it to take root in my heart. And I began to memorize scriptures and really took the Bible for what it said. And so that right there was transforming to me. And to know that I was valuable, that I don't have to settle for, you know, just whatever's out there. God wants something. He had something great for me.
Mm. Amy, if folks want to connect with what you're doing in ministry, you're constantly reaching out to the very lost, to young people and others. What's the best way for folks to connect with you?
Probably through my website. I have two of them, hopeuprising.org, and the other one is amylambert.me.
All right. All right. So amylambert.me and hopeuprising.org. You can find out what Amy's doing, pray for her, get behind the work. All right, we're going to hear some testimonies here, more from Amy. I want you to talk about what's happening with young people, why many are leaving the church, and how you're seeing God save, intervene in their lives. 866-34-TRUTH. I want to share some of your testimonies by phone as well. Stay with us.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
I asked on Facebook some different places a few minutes ago, hour and a half ago, what did Jesus save you from? Rebecca, sin and death. Ethan, drug addiction, false religion, bitterness, homelessness, extortion, covetousness, pornography, lust. Maria, shame, sorrow, regret, hopelessness, depression, emptiness, self-hatred, loneliness, destruction, but most of all from sin, fear of death, and hell. Praise the Lord. That's the power of the gospel. It's just testimony after testimony after testimony. Before we go back to Amy, let's just grab a phone call or two. We'll go to Dallas, Texas. Amber, welcome to the Line of Fire.
Hello. How are you doing, Dr. Michael?
Doing great. Nice to hear from you.
Thank you. I was calling. I listen to your station every day, and I was listening to all these testimonies and everything. You know, y'all were talking about suicidal and, you know, drug addictions and stuff like that. You know, I basically called because I want to lay my testimony out there and let everybody know, hey, it's not as bad as it seems. A lot more people are in a bad situation than what they're in. You know, I grew up in a very bad situation, and I thought I'd never ever get out of it, but I did. And I didn't get out of it till I was 21.
What did he get you out of?
Well, I grew up in a household. My mother, my dad was basically the 10th most wanted. My mother was kidnapped, and that's how she had me, and I grew up in a drug-addicted household. My mama was very heavily on drugs. My mama married father to father that kept abusing me while she sits there and watched. You know, as it went as far as nailing me to the bed and putting me in stove. You know, it's just not as much as drugs. It was, you know, the abusement towards me.
Horrific. Amber, are you saying that not only Jesus got you out of that situation, but that he healed the wounds? Can he actually do that when someone grows up in an environment like that?
And you know, I didn't know God until I was 21. And I'm just now 26 years old.
Mm.
You know, I went through, and then not only that, when I went from 11 years old, I got taken away from my mother at 11 because, you know, I didn't speak out, but finally one day I did speak out, and they took me from the home, and CPS got me, but CPS did the same thing that my mama was doing to me. It was no better. And so, you know, they all say, you know, putting a child with somebody else is better. It's not. You know, it's just 10 times worse. And so by the time I was 18, I didn't have more than 50 sexual partners, you know, that forced themselves on me. You know, I was already forced over 100 times to do stuff.
Gosh.
You know,
That's all right.
Yeah, I've been through a lot, and then finally CPS let me out, and I was on the streets. You know, they don't take you to no they don't take you to a house or back to your parents or anything. They put you in a homeless shelter, and that's where I was. And the night I was there, you wouldn't believe how many drug addicted, you know, I was around all that every day. I couldn't sleep. I didn't know what to do. I didn't have an ID. I didn't know about anything. They just threw me out there. You know, I was dumbfounded to the world. Then all of a sudden, this guy, he picked me up off the street. I didn't know him from dawn to day. I didn't know him. I just got in the car and just went. And I went in the car, and next thing I know, he pulled a knife out on me and says, here. You know, I had to do what I had to do to get out of that situation. And then not only that, I mean, it's just so much that I have been through that people don't understand what other people are going through. That they
I've been
through so much that they don't need to kill themselves. They don't need to be on drugs. I mean, it gets bad. But I've never been to the point to where I was, you know, needing drugs.
Yeah. But Amber, when you were 21 years old, that's when the Lord came into your life.
Yeah.
You can talk about the past now. It's horrific, and you are telling people there's hope. Doesn't matter what you've been through, there's hope. No. And think of it. Sorry to interrupt. But the moment God had mercy on you, every sin you had ever committed, He washed clean and gave you the power to forgive others. Amber, may God continue to work in your life and keep you strong. I appreciate you calling, and whoever you are out there, friends, there's hope. There's hope. Amy. Speaking to Amy Lambert, her website's amylambert.me or hopeuprising.org. Amy, you minister to a lot of young people, and you go for the worst of them, don't you?
I really do. I don't know what it is, but God has definitely put in my heart to go after the people that have the hardest hearts
mm-hmm.
and the ones that, you know, they're running away from God.
And, I mean, these are the kids where cutting themselves is normal, where suicide is much more rampant. Why so much pain inside of these kids?
I guess, in looking at the kids, I think that, you know, looking at even the family system that we have today,
mm-hmm.
a lot of kids are fatherless.
Mm.
I think that's a big deal, just like Amber was saying, with the abuse, maybe bullying at school. And, you know, I've ministered to young people who, one girl in particular, she was 12 years old. She had cuts all over her body. We did deliverance with her. I mean, she was out there.
Mm.
And I asked her at the end of it, I said, when did these things start happening? When did you start hearing these voices? And she told me, she said she was bullied at school. She came home. She started listening to heavy metal. And that's when those voices came in and started telling her to harm herself and kill herself.
And what happened to her ultimately?
She got delivered. She got radically delivered. She was so precious after that.
So you're talking about freedom.
Yeah.
And you see this happen a lot.
I do, yeah.
All right. In fact, if you could stay just one more segment, there's a story that you want to tell.
I know.
About a man that's just sitting on the other side of the window here for me. I want to hear this, and I want everyone to hear it, because, you know, there's always another story. You hear that and think, if God could save that person, God could save anybody. Mm-hmm. And the thing that's remarkable is when you find out how many of us in ministry, preaching, happily married, parents, grandparents, thriving in God, our lives whole, how messed up we were.
Mm-hmm.
Before we were saved. Because you get saved, you think everybody in the church was always perfect. And then you get to know them better. And think, wow, what stories you have.
Right.
And how God's still at work. So I want to share more of that with you. A whole bunch more to come. Some exciting things I want to tell you about in the next half hour. If you want to call in with your own testimony, I'll be getting to more testimonies momentarily. 866-34-TRUTH. Such were some of you were exalting Jesus, the power of the gospel. Yeah, the world's messed up. The ultimate answer to the culture wars is live for Jesus, preach Jesus, declare Him as Savior and Lord.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown. your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Get into the line of fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
The deliverer. He is alive and he is here tonight, and he desires to do a miracle in your life tonight. I'm going to tell you tonight, I don't know where you've been and I don't know the things that you've done, but I know the one that is able to lift you out and that is able to clean up your life, to break every addiction off of your life, to heal your body tonight. It's Jesus Christ.
Those are not empty religious words. That is the power of the gospel from the voice of Amy Lambert. Amy, before you share an amazing testimony, and we get to some of those waiting by phone to share more, young people leaving the churches or identifying as nuns, N-O-N-E-S, having no religious affiliation, why is that happening?
I think there's several reasons, and one thing that I see from a perspective of somebody who goes and speaks at youth groups and goes and speaks at huge youth conferences, I really feel like that it has become more about entertaining the young people than it is equipping them. And I've discussed this with even denominational leaders and said to them, you know, it can't just be a message every time that tells these kids, come up and nail your sins to the cross. It's that over and over and over. I really believe with all my heart, true discipleship says, okay, come and follow me and I'll make you a fisher of men. Mm-hmm. And I also believe that with this younger generation, they don't care about coffee shops and smoke and lights and all the stuff that these modern churches are trying to do in order to bring in the younger generation. They need to see the authentic power of Jesus.
Yeah. You know, there's an article that I have that'll be out tonight on why conservative churches are growing. You keep hearing about all the bad stats, but the ones that water down the message, they're the ones losing people. The ones that say it's a high cost, but he's worth following, those are the ones where people are coming. So the whole philosophy of dumb it down for the young people is the way to drive them away, as opposed to call them higher in the power of the gospel so they can really live for something. That's the way to retain. It's counterintuitive, but it's the gospel way. All right, we got 2 minutes, but on the other side of my window here, over in my office from the radio studio, there's a gentleman sitting who's got quite a story. So give us the short version.
So the short version is 4 years ago, I was getting ready to do one of our City Invasion concerts in Charlotte. And because I travel a lot, I randomly zipped into a gas station, had all these McDonald's bags, all this stuff for traveling. I said, I can't take it anymore. I got to get this trash out of my car. So pull into a gas station, start throwing things away, have my friend who does the video work for the ministry with me randomly. And this man comes up to me and begins to ask for money. And he had long hair, and I could smell the alcohol in his breath. And I said to him, you know, let me tell you about what can bring freedom in your life, about Jesus. And I told my friend Carrie, I said, Carrie, we've got to get this on video. She said, no, we don't want to make him feel exploited, that kind of thing. I said, no, I really feel like this is the Lord. There's something about this. So we got his testimony on film that first day. Wow. And that became a 4-year pursuit where God would have me. I mean, seriously, he would tell me. Even one morning I woke up and the Lord said, you need to go find James. He's dying right now. And I went out, looked everywhere, and I started calling the hospitals. And the first hospital I called, he was in ICU.
Wow.
And he was on a breathing machine, feeding tube, like his organs were shutting down because of alcohol. He is 61 right now, had been drinking since he was a child.
And was homeless for 30 years?
Yes.
30 years. And you chased him down for 4 years?
Yep.
And Jesus saved him?
Yep.
That's a couple years ago.
Yep.
And he's whole today. Friends, that's the power of the gospel. Thank God. Send it, Lord.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into the line of fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
I asked the question earlier today on Facebook, what has Jesus saved you from? And the list is amazing. Jody, from hell, of course, and depression, and from a long search to find my purpose in living. Also from self-righteousness, I thought I was a good person, better than many. A radical conversion with overnight changes when I heard the song I Surrender All for the first time. I saw the light when I asked Jesus to take my life. I didn't even know who he was, really. I learned that by reading the New Testament daily, a desire I had immediately. Jeremiah, Catholicism, obviously meaning from dead tradition, living for my own will. Regina, addiction. Linda, a botched operation. Donnie, myself. Janet, suicide at age 19. I will be turning 60 years old this month. Jack, occult. Kathy, fear of death. Lisa, cancer twice. Kelly, bulimia and alcohol. Another with no name, Suzanne. He saved me from 15 years of homosexuality and is healing me of a lifetime of gender confusion. And violence, hell, broken heart, religion, and secret sexual perversion. Another, such was I, liar, thief, drunkard, adulteress, murderer, depressed, lost, filthy. But to the outside world, it had it all together. Praise and glory to God for Jesus' saving grace. Cynthia, I was married to one of the biggest drug dealers on the North Shore of Massachusetts. He was the middleman for Hell's Angels and organized crime. I found the Lord. He was gone from our lives 2 months later. On and on and on and on it goes. Michael, Jesus saved me from heroin, a life of homosexuality in hell. He saved me from the penalty of sin, the power of sin, and one day the very presence of its existence. Guy, sexual addiction, other vices, and on and on and on. Can't even read all of them, but they're all around the Facebook page. Ask Dr. Brown. Let's go to Capitol Heights, Maryland. Thanks for calling The Line of Fire.
Dr. Brown, thank you. Thank you so much. You're very inspiring. Today has been very inspiring. Thank you for all that you do.
Well, praise God. He's amazing. Yes, go ahead.
I'll try to stay on train of thought. I was 16. I was abused as a child. I didn't have the worst childhood, but I didn't have the best. At 16, I went to visit some family, and the pastor asked me if I was saved. I told him no. He asked me why. I told him because I didn't want to let Jesus down when I was saved. I thought I would continue to live a life of shame. And he told me I was already doing it by not accepting him, and it made so much sense to me. Well, I accepted him. I was baptized. But just like life happens, I came back home, and the girlfriend at the time told me she was pregnant. I felt like I let God down. I felt like I knew I was going to mess up. And I wanted to get rid of the child. We were actually on the way to do so. And God had a different plan. We had an accident, car accident. Everyone was okay. But it stopped us for where I wanted to go.
Mm.
Long story short, I have a beautiful, healthy daughter. I love her with all my heart. I love Jesus for what he's done for me and my life. And for anyone out there who's struggling with suicide or abortion, anything, don't give it to God. Give it to him, because he can change you. He can change your heart.
Amen, he can. And thank God for that intervention and for that wonderful child that you have as a result. And here, it all starts out wrong, born in sin, but redeemed by God and now raised in the Lord. Thank you for calling 866-34-TRUTH. Sitting with Amy Lambert, her website, amylambert.me. or hopeuprising.org. Amy, as you've reached out, passionately gone after people, fishers of men, in other words, you don't just sit around and wait for them to come in. You go and look for them. You've also seen kids start well and then hit walls. People have disappointment. What would you say are some of the devil's strongest tricks, the things that hinder people? If you can learn what he's going to do in advance, or understand in advance that a lot of people that want to follow the Lord could do a lot better, could overcome pitfalls.
One of the things that I've seen over and over is sexual sin.
Mm-hmm.
So you know, a man or a woman or a boy or a young boy or a girl, they find somebody attractive, you know, they're not a believer. And my friends, they used to call it missionary dating, where you find somebody and you think you could save them.
Right.
And
you got to remember, it's easier for someone to pull you down
absolutely.
Than for you to pull someone up.
And bad company corrupts good morals.
Exactly.
And so next thing you know, we are human beings, and you find yourself in a position that you're weak, and Satan puts that shame and guilt on you and tells you, okay, well, you've done this, so you might as well just keep going, moving backwards, away from God, and you start getting deeper and deeper in sin. So I would say that would be a huge one, is sexual sin.
All right, so what do you tell someone, though, if they're messing up, if they're struggling? Can Jesus really save us from sexual sin?
Absolutely. I mean, I'll be bluntly honest. I went from being a wild teenager, not just with drugs. You know, I had my list of names of boyfriends that I was inappropriate with. And once I became a believer, I took that part very seriously as well. And so I was 19 years old when I got saved, and I just got married at age 30.
Mm-hmm.
So that's 11 years of
being single.
Abstinence.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
And I know a lot of people would be saying, "Oh, that's impossible. There's no way you could do that." But you know what? When Jesus is your love, the lover of your soul, and He completes you, then it's absolutely possible. And I think that my pastor years ago told me something. He said, my wife she doesn't complete me. He said, Christ completes me.
Yeah.
He said, my wife is a blessing in my life.
Yeah.
And I think that's a misconception that people have, is that another human being, like they're a half person, and that they're looking for their other half so that they can be whole. And Jesus is the only one that can make us whole.
Yeah. So you find wholeness in Him,
mm-hmm.
and then God puts people in our lives. Nancy and I have been married over 39 years. I can't imagine life without her, but I thrive in God. She thrives in God, and we complement each other deeply,
mm-hmm.
but ultimately the purpose of our lives is found in Him. And we were chatting when you came and noticed that I'd lost a lot of weight, and I was saying, yeah, completely changed my relationship to food, and said to you that it was harder for me to get off chocolate than to get off heroin and shooting drugs. And I was not I was getting high intensely for 2 years and was addicted to the needle more than any other drug, but you were, from the way you described it, a heavier drug addict, or let's say for a longer mm-hmm. period of time, a heavier drug addict. But I was as heavy as I knew how to be. I was called Drug Baron Iron Man in my high school because I could do more drugs than anyone and live to talk about it. You know, mm-hmm. once did enough mescaline, hallucinogenic drug, similar to LSD, once did the equivalent of a dose for 30 people.
Wow.
Ended up in the hospital overnight and then, you know, lived to tell about it and boast about another idiotic thing. But all that to say, you were more heavily addicted over a longer period of time, but we both know how life-controlling these things are. But when Jesus mm-hmm. saved me, I was set free.
Right.
December 17th, 71. No, it's not like this for everybody, but for me,
right.
December 17th, 71, I said, I'll never put a needle on my arm again. And I was free mm-hmm. from that night on. A couple struggles, temptations after that, but that was it. I was free, never did it again. After that, getting off chocolate was hard. I actually had to pray and cry. I said, God, You set me free. And this is what I told Him. I said, You were everything to me. Your joy so filled my life. And you made me so uncomfortable in my sin, but then so filled me. All I wanted was You. I didn't need the other stuff. I said, if You could do that for me with heroin and all this other stuff, You could do it for me with Oreos and peanut M&Ms and chocolate ice cream. And He did. He did that as well. Amy, we've just got a minute left in this segment here. But being a fisher of men, one thing, tell our listening audience, if they could just do one thing to be a fisher of men and women, what would you tell them?
I would say be aware of the people that God puts in your path. You don't necessarily have to be a street evangelist. You don't have to go to a foreign mission field. But God will put people in your path every single day, whether it be your hairdresser, someone at Walmart, someone at McDonald's. Look for those individuals that God will place in your path and just start a conversation with them. You know, as Christians, we don't have to be weird in order to evangelize. Be friendly and let the conversation lead into talking about the Lord and share your passion and your love for Jesus, and then ask them if they know him.
Mm, great word. Be aware of the people that God puts around you. And if you care about them and love them and look for opportunities to share the gospel, God will use you. Connect with Amy Lambert, amylambert.me or hopeuprising.org. Amy, awesome to see you and hear what God's doing.
Thank you.
The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Welcome back to The Line of Fire, 866-34-TRUTH. I hope you are encouraged by what you're hearing on the broadcast. I just felt that we needed to do a whole show exalting Jesus as the Savior from sin, exalting Jesus as the one who sets the captives free, exalting Jesus as the one who saves us from the guttermost. What a Savior. What a Savior. What a Deliverer. I'm going to take some more testimonies, share some more in a moment, but I want to do a shout out to everyone listening to me on the radio right now in Florida. All right, in Greater Jacksonville and St. Augustine, the surrounding areas there, we've got some great new stations, some terrific new stations. We're on the air there, but every last dime of the funds that we currently have, every last dime is being used to pay our current bills, to do the outreach that we do nationally and internationally, to be on the radio stations that we are on. And the way that we are able to be on new stations is with the help of local supporters. We are listener-sponsored. We are a listener-sponsored ministry organization. We don't have some big national sponsor. We don't have some contract where someone pays us millions of dollars to be on the air. Quite the contrary. We raise funds for every dime of every broadcast that we are on, where we pay to be on the air in these great stations across America. So if you're listening to me on the radio and you want us to be on the air in Greater Jacksonville, Greater St. Augustine, anywhere in Florida where you're listening to me right now live as I speak to you this Wednesday, May 13th, partner with us. Your one-time gift, or better still, becoming a monthly supporter. If we even hear just from 30 of you in the next week, that will really be shouting to us, which is a tiny fraction. We can speak to more than 2 million people in your area right now on the great stations where we are. And some of you are hearing me on a nice, loud, clear signal, or you're hearing me quite a distance from some of the places that I mentioned, loud and clear, a great coastal reach that we have. Even hearing just from 30 of you that join us as torchbearers, in the next week, will be shouting to us to say, hey, make the investment and be on these stations. So here's how you do it. Put aside a dollar a day or more, so $30 or more per month, and we'll send you first as a thank you gift, a package worth more than your first month's giving. Let the Lion Roar, a very powerful docudrama about anti-Semitism and church history and God's purposes for Israel. It's a DVD and a Blu-ray disc and a book, plus CDs of accompanying interviews that we did on The Line of Fire that will really, really minister deeply to you. All of that we'll send you as our thank you gift when you become a torturer. Anywhere, wherever you live in America, we'll send you that as a thank you gift this week. We also send you a new message, a new audio message that I preach every single month. Probably the next one, next month, will be a message I preached in Singapore that I thought would really minister to you. Just preached that a little over a week ago. And then we send you a newsletter, Insider, where I tell you what's going on and praise reports and things like that. And then any order that you place on our website, you get a 15% discount. And then we have some online classes I've taught, which are normally $50 per class. And you get to watch them for free or listen to them for free online. That's our way of sowing back into you and saying thank you and helping equip you for action. So why not pick up the phone now, anywhere you're listening across the country, but especially anywhere in Florida right now on the radio. Pick up the phone and call us and say, hey, Mike, we really want you to be on the air. We want you to be our voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. 1-800-278-9978. 1-800-278-9978. Hey, across the country, it'd be great if we have a wave of new supporters. This will not make me rich. This will not go into the treasuries of our bank account. No, in fact, there are no treasuries because everything that comes in goes right back out for gospel work in America and around the world and for the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Or you can go online, Ask Dr. Brown, askdrbrown.org. Go online and you can just click on donate. In South Africa, Molebageng. Yeah, I'm sorry to butcher the name. Dear Dr. Brown, sent to me by the Father, you have been my mentor for a year now, and I cannot comprehend with words how much I've grown in biblical scholarship. I mean, the fire is ignited every day through listening to the Line of Fire. Come on! Does that warm your heart the way it warms mine? May Jesus continue to be exalted through your ministry. South Africa still awaits you. Praise God. All right, let me grab one more call. Philip in Dallas, Texas. What did Jesus save you from, sir?
Well, Dr. Brown, number one, thank you for being there for us. And, you know, just to follow up on your last guest and the last question you asked her, you know, if you live an honest, truthful life in the spirit of God and the spirit of Jesus, people are, you're like a magnet to people. They want to feel that. They want to hear that. They want to see that. And testifying, of course, is a good way for them to understand that how Jesus came to you. And Jesus came to me in a little bedroom closet when I was 7 years old. And I was a victim of just, if you can imagine, child abuse at its worst and multiply it times 10.
Oh, no.
I went through it. And as a seven-year-old little boy, alone in a closet, locked in a closet, Jesus put his arms around me and told me I was a good kid. He told me I was a good boy. He told me he was going to follow me and watch out after me, and he sure did. At the age of 14, I was just a smart little kid in school, even though my parents didn't really give a hoot and a mention of what I did. I was a smart kid. I graduated high school 2 years early. And at the age of 14, Jesus put a situation in front of me, and it was some kids drove up in a nice car with good-looking girls, and they asked me to ride with them. They were classmates, and Jesus said, make your decision, son. You know what I've taught you. You know how I've been with you. You make a decision. You can go with them and have fun, or you can just stay here and play basketball. And an hour later, every kid was killed in the car.
They had
a car wreck and killed them. And then the next time Jesus reached out after me is I went in the military as soon as I could just to get away from my home life. It was in a bathroom stall at John F. Kennedy Airport when I was flying back to Europe. And Jesus, God, put his arms around me. I was not eating for different reasons, but I wasn't eating. My bowel movements were, when I went to the restroom, was like powder. And Jesus put his arms around me and said, you're mine. You are mine. I'm going to take care of you. And before I got on that airplane to go to Europe, my bowel movements had gone back to normal. My appetite changed, and Jesus was with me. He never left me.
Mm. And it just got to jump in, you know, from horrific child abuse that I can't imagine, from being saved from a car accident, killed everybody, and then touching your physical body before going off into the armed services. We're talking about a God who cares. Whoever you are, wherever you are, cry out to him now. God, help me. Have mercy on me. And I'm yours. I'll serve you the rest of my life. And you'll find freedom and liberty in him. My bottom line today, God's not limited by our sin. God's not limited by our disobedience. God's not limited by destruction in our lives. He is the Savior of all.